Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. I will start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of the fellowship in, sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start the sharing off this morning, Peter, do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. My name is Peter and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Peter.
It's a real privilege to be here talking to who knows who. I hope if you've joined in here, you have an interest in what we might have to say. Members of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've not been around this fellowship a long time, but I would say it's the most transformative experience of my entire life. When I first got in here, I didn't have a problem with alcohol. Other people had a problem with my drinking. I drank just enough to suit me just fine, thank you. Fortunately, I was smart enough to realize, to see the writing on the wall, to see that my wife was going to leave me and I was probably going to lose a job because of the amount of drinking I did. And I wasn't a falling down in the gutter drunk. I wasn't a morning drunk. I just drank every single day without fail. At 5 o'clock, I started drinking and I didn't really stop till I was pretty well lit up. That was the nature of the alcoholic that I was. I couldn't get by without an evening of getting so sloshed that basically I never made plans for the evening. You know, if there was somewhere I had to go, I said, well, let's make that during the daytime. Because drinking was my life. Drinking was all that happened in the evening. I used to think about, how am I going to manage that? Because I'll be so drunk I won't be able to get there or get home. So my whole life was planned around drinking. Even when I wasn't drinking, I was planning how I was going to get hold of alcohol. Did I have enough alcohol in the cupboard to get me through the day? Did I have a good emergency supply? Did I have enough hidden from my wife so that I used to have a little bottle of whiskey in my sock drawer, you know, so I could top up or get a little bit of an extra drink so that I would be drinking more than she would see and be able to get my dose, so to speak. So alcohol was my religion. It was my reason for being. But when I got into the rooms, I didn't think there was a problem. I wasn't an alcoholic. I just liked getting sloshed all the time. And when I got into the rooms, I realized that, in fact, there's a certain measure of truth in that, that alcohol was not my problem. Alcohol was my solution to my problems. And alcohol was a solution that had stopped working. I didn't find out until I stopped drinking, until I actually put down the drink, what the reason was that I was drinking all the time, or what the reasons were, I should say. And I found that out by listening to other people in the meetings talking about their lives and finding lights going on in my head all over the place. I would hear their drinking stories, and they weren't very like my drinking stories, a lot of them. I was, you know, this kind of controlled alcoholic. I like to regard myself as a special kind of alcoholic. But what I heard them talk about the way they thought, the way they felt, the way they reacted to the world, the terrible sense of discontentment, anxiety, resentment, and anger that the world wasn't the way I wanted it to be. And see, alcohol had been my solution to those feelings of rage, resentment, self-obsession, self-pity. Alcohol had been my solution to that. When I took them took the alcohol away, I didn't have that solution, and suddenly those feelings came into focus, and I had to look at them and say, well, how am I going to do this without drinking? Now, I wasn't expecting any of this when I got into AA. I was thinking that we were just going to be sitting around all the time talking about how to avoid having a drink. You know, it was going to be like a, I don't know, like a team talk, you know, like a rugby team before it goes on the field. You can do it. You can not pick up the drink, you know. But as I say, the drinking was the symptom of my disease. The drinking wasn't the disease. And so what I heard people talking about in the very, very first meeting I went to, and remember I said, when I went to that first meeting, I didn't have a drinking problem. The first meeting I went to, I heard people talking about things, and I thought, wow, I didn't know anybody else felt like that. And I realized that, no, I didn't have a drinking problem. I had a Peter problem. I had a problem being me in the world because I couldn't cope with what we call life on life's terms. I couldn't cope with the way the world was coming at me without dealing with my reaction, without, shall we say, anesthetizing it by drinking. So the things that I started to learn in AA was a toolkit of practices in which I would turn the attention on myself. Turn the attention on how the world for me was made up entirely of the reaction that I had to that world. You would have heard at the beginning of this meeting on air that we said this little serenity prayer together. And it talked about having the serenity to accept the things that I can't change and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. And the really important part of that prayer for me in the first couple of years of being in this fellowship was learning that there's most of what goes on in my life I cannot change. Most of what my workmates might do, the government might do, my bosses might do, my friends might do, even my wife might do, I can't change that. Or any attempt I make to change it is only going to cause grief and trouble, usually for me. What I can learn to do is to accept it and change the way I react, change the way I live in the world. And I'll just finish on talking about this thing about God, because one of the things that really got me worried when I first came in here was this mention of God, because it occurs, it's the first word in that serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity. And I didn't like that idea of God very much. You know, I didn't like the idea, because it conjured up to me, I was brought up as an Anglican, it conjured up to me that guy sitting on some throne way up in heaven with a long beard, dispensing divine justice. And I'd sort of given all that away. And I thought, well, that's going to be a real problem for me, getting past that God thing. And then what I came to see, and this is really, really important, is that when in AA we talk about God, and sometimes we call it a higher power, we talk about a God of our understanding. Nobody's telling you what God looks like. Nobody's telling you that there is this definition of God, there is this doctrine that you have to hold on to. God exists only as a concept of a higher power, because we alcoholics, or certainly speaking for myself, I was powerless over my drinking, powerless over alcohol, and my life had become unmanageable as a result of that. That I was beyond any human aid and I couldn't help myself. Now, what does that mean, beyond any human aid? Well, to me, it means the notion of God, for me, rests in the notion of surrender. I've been speaking a little bit about letting go of trying to control the world around me, because it's really stupid, right? I want to control the law of the land, or I want to control somebody else's behavior. The idea of God for me resides in the notion of surrender. We speak about it. I've heard it often said in the rooms. We speak about it as handing it over. Something that I can't deal with, I hand over. Now, it's in that act of handing over that God resides for me. It doesn't actually matter what I'm handing it over to. I call it my higher power, and the notion of it in my head is not a picture of a guy in a heavenly throne with a long beard, but the actual godness of it exists in the handing over, in the thing of saying, I actually can't do anything about this, so I'm going to devote my attention to what I can do something about, which is my own behavior, the way I react in the world. So for me, Alcoholics Anonymous has been quite transformative. If you had told me, and I've only been in here about 4 years, but if you had told me about 4 years ago that I would be not drinking, I would have just laughed you out of court. The actual idea that I might never drink again was terrifying. It had come up in my head from time to time because my father was an alcoholic and because my wife really wanted me to give up drinking. But I didn't regard that as really something that was up for negotiation. There was no way I was going to stop drinking because the idea of stopping drinking was petrifying. I could not envisage a life without drinking. But now drinking is not an issue for me. I haven't drunk for a certain number of years, but I still have a challenge with sobriety. And that might sound a bit odd, but I draw a distinction between abstinence, which is not drinking, and sobriety, which is living a life in which my thinking is composed, thoughtful, and not reactive to the world around me, not demanding that the world around me conform to what I want it to be, but trying to exercise myself in such a way that I live life on life's terms. I deal with life as it comes at me. And that's, life is not always going to suit me down to the ground. Not everything that happens in my life is going to happen the way I want it to happen. The question of how I obtain sobriety, how I live a decent life, is the question of how well I deal with that. That, to me, is what sobriety is all about. And that, to me, has been a gift entirely of my fellowship, my being a member of the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learn it from other alcoholics each and every time I go to a meeting. And I'm going to learn some more about it when the other two chaps here share in a moment. So thanks very much for letting me share. I appreciate the chance to talk to you, and I hope you all have a great day.
Great. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM, and we have members of the fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Darren, would you like to share?
Yes, thank you. My name's Darren and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Darren.
Hey, G'day, Darren.
It still feels like that period in my life when I was still drinking and unable to stop drinking is still feels fairly close for me. Now, my experience with it was, I'd drunk since university and hadn't really thought too much about it. I certainly wasn't aware that the way I drank was abnormal. I used to think that the way I drank was good for me, and that people that didn't drink as much were clearly missing out on something in life. And that just led over time to me building alcohol into my life, into pretty much everything that I did. And that was something that became part of daily drinking on a regular basis, and then slowly that would turned into weekend drinking pretty much all weekend, And then on and on it went until, you know, I started taking drinks in the morning just to start my day and never thought too much about it. That all changed when, you know, suddenly I lost control of how much I drank and when I drank. And I guess at that point, I actually started to think that I'd quite like to cut down on the amount of alcohol in my life, because what happened was the consequences of my drinking started getting more severe. And I guess that's the first point that I realized that I wasn't in control anymore, because when I tried to stop, I always ended up breaking those promises that I made to myself, and ended up with a drink in my hand. And basically, once that first drink was in my hand, all bets were off. I couldn't control where it took me, how much I drank, sometimes what happened, and then the consequences of those drinking events became more and more severe. And I think, you know, when I first came into AA, it was really for that reason. I still had not reached a point where I could imagine my life without drinking it, because it had just was everything that I did involved drinking, whether it was a celebration of something good or a drink to help me through something bad. It was the thing that I reached out to soothe, you know, what were really intense emotions that I used to experience, and it just used to help me shut myself off from that. So, you know, when I came into AA, I was just looking for a way to control my drinking so that I could control the consequences of my drinking and that hopefully it could be manageable in my life. And I guess that's the first shock that I had, was that I couldn't, whatever I did, I couldn't put some sort of structure around my drinking. I couldn't cut it down. I couldn't make it something that was on my terms. Just a few drinks with friends, just a drink this weekend and then a couple of weeks without. No matter what I said to myself when I got up in the morning about I'm not going to drink tonight, by the time either work finished, by the time I actually had to make good on that promise, I couldn't do it. I had an obsession, and that obsession overpowered any form of personal control that I tried to exert on it. And I would be sitting there, standing in the supermarket or in the chair in the pub, staring at the drink in my hand, going, how did this happen? And that's when I realized, you know, it's bigger than me. This is a real problem. And I guess that's when, you know, I started coming to the meetings and realizing that maybe I had take on a program that was offered up in AA, that offered a solution. And I guess, you know, for anyone listening out there that's at that point where they've gone through all those phases leading up to the point where they just realize, where you just realize you can't stop it. It's just, you know, once you take that first drink, all bets are off. It takes you wherever. Then I just want to let you know that my experience with Alcoholics Anonymous is there is a solution. For me, I came into the program, things were really bad. I was just about to lose my job, my house. I'd already lost a family, my son, the custody of my son. And I was pretty desperate this time to you know, get help and do it not my way, because my way didn't work. So, you know, when I went into the rooms of AA, I was offered a program that if I followed it, and I followed it the way it was explained to me, then I could recover. And it, it was something that I didn't do perfectly at first, and as a result of that, you know, I came to understand that if you just try and do that your way as well, it can lead to, you know, mixed results. So eventually I got myself a sponsor, someone that knew had made recovery work in their life, and they became a teacher for me, and they showed me how this program works, and I just did it that way. I went to a lot of MESAC meetings, and I listened to a lot of people share, and then I followed the steps in the program, and little by little, I was able to stop drinking, and I was able to get a defense against that obsession to drink, which was the first thing that needed to happen to create some distance between me and the obsession of booze. And once I did that, you know, then I came to realize through doing this program that there's more on offer than that. There's actually a better way of living, because, you know, my life, I used to struggle with it. I used to feel that the world was against me, that I was on the losing end of the deals that were out there, and if you had my life, you'd drink too. And that kind of self-pity was one of the things that started to lift once I got sober. And I actually realized that life's good. There's a lot of good things going on in life, and it's right there. It's right in front of you, and you can reach out and grab it. But it slips away if you've got a drink in your hand, because the chaos of drinking just destroys that ability to actually get on and start living life again, which is something I didn't know how to do. I'd been drinking for so long. I needed to be shown how to live sober and, you know, how to be happy in sobriety. And I think that's what the program of AA can really do for you. It did it for me. It's done it for all the people in the rooms that stick around that I see. One of the things that I notice is they all seem to be happy. And they've got a lot of gratitude for being sober. And that was something that I looked at and I thought, well, I don't want to be sober and miserable. I want to be sober and happy. And, you know, as I said before, little by little that started to happen, and good things started happening again in my life. I started being able to enjoy just the miracle of a sunny day, the wind on my face, the ability to do things without being drunk and struggling. And I think that's what happened. You know, I realized I don't have to live in that struggle of being hungover, intoxicated, and just everything seeming to go really badly. It can turn around. So, you know, that's where I am today. I'm just working through this program, and I'm enjoying the little miracles, I guess, those little micro wins that you have that you can only get through persisting with sobriety, and the benefits of it are I've started to have a good life. So, you know, I guess I just want to finish on that. If there's people out there that are struggling, there is a solution, and you can be free, you can gain some freedom back in your life, and it's certainly been worth it for me. So thanks very much.
Great.
Cool. Thanks, Darren.
You're on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. We have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last sharer this morning is Shane. Let's share.
Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Shane. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shane.
I'm really grateful to be here. So a little bit about and I've really related to a lot of the sharing this morning, and that's, I think that's where Peter kicked it off, was just about, you know, when you turn up first to AA, just, you know, the identifying with, I mean, the stories around drinking, there's some differences there, you know, for me, you know, I was picking up a drink at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and not putting it down until I fell over sometime that night. But that wasn't always the way. You know, the start of my drinking was reasonably innocent. There was, you know, it was just Fridays and Saturday nights out with my mates. But I remember the first drink that I picked up and with a mate of mine, and it's a strange thing, isn't it? I mean, I guess it's an experimentation with life, but, you know, I think we might have had four or five double brown cans and just collapsed, blacked out, and came to with one of the mate that I'd picked up the drink and picked up the drinks with, screaming at us, how did we get drunk? Where did we get it from? You know, are you ever going to do this again? And I'm pretty sure we said at the time, you know, this won't happen again. And my memory's sort of a little bit vague around that, but I would think within a couple of days we were back in exactly the same situation again. And that's pretty much the story of my drinking. The frequency got closer together, but you know, the type of drinking that I went through was always the same. There's probably four or five times in my whole life that I picked up a drink and knew that I'd only be able to have one or two because of the situation, because I'd made such a mess of the night before with my girlfriend, and she was, you know, she was really upset with me this time, and I had to try and prove to her that wasn't me, and, you know, that I... there was another side to Shane who could have some sort of control, but that was very, very rare. And the other thing is, it just was no fun. That wasn't why I picked up a drink. I picked up a drink to get away from myself and to get away from the distress that was inside my head. And that was the, sort of the rude awakening, I think, about when I first came to AA. Like Peter was saying, I thought it was, I guess, some sort of support network where people would pat you on the back and give you some one-liners that you could take away and keep the drink out of your lips. I didn't realise that underlying all of that was actually there was some pretty, I think the biggest thing in my life was fear. That was the big driver. There was, my life was, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and I was dreading life. And for anyone that's in that situation, I think there's another way. I didn't realise that at the time. I thought that, I thought it was just about putting the drink down and that my life would return to rosy again. It's been a little bit different than that, but it has been, I've been sober now for 3.5 years, which doesn't seem like a long time in the context of 30 years of drinking, but it feels, you know, every day I feel like it's got easier. The fear has subsided. You know, in some days it feels like I don't have a care or a fear in the world. Other days it returns, but it's not as rough. It's not as tumultuous in my life. I'm not getting thrown around by it all the time. And AA's been really good to me. It's taught me another way to live my life, a way that I didn't think was possible. It's given me a lot of friends. It's been a very, you know, it's been a great, a big growth curve for me. I feel like I'm starting life again, you know, coming out of 18-year-old mind, it's been great. So look, I hope if you're out there that, you got something out of, whatever we said this afternoon. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
Thank you.
You've been, this brings us towards the end of our meeting. We've had members of the fellowship and sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and on the website, under the drop-down box under meetings list, is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.